Chapter 36. Thank you, no, said Richard firmly. Much as I would love the opportunity to buy your pizza and watch you eat it, Dirk, I want to go straight home. I have to see Susan. Is that possible, Reg? Just straight to my flat? I'll come up to Cambridge next week and collect my car. We are already there, said Reg. Simply step out of the door and you are at home in your own flat. It's early on Friday evening and the weekend lies before you. Thanks. Look, Dirk, I'll see you around, okay? Do I owe you something? I don't know. Dirk waved the matter aside airily. You will hear from my Miss Pierce in due course, he said. Fine, okay, well, I'll see you when I've had some rest. It's been, well, unexpected. He walked to the door and opened it. Stepping outside, he found himself halfway up his own staircase, in the wall of which the door had materialized. He was about to start up the stairs when he turned again as a thought struck him. He stepped back in, closing the door behind him. Reg, could we make one tiny detour, he said. I think it'd be a good move if I took Susan out for a meal tonight. And at the place I have in mind, you have to book in advance. Could you manage 3 weeks for me? Nothing could be easier, said Reg, and made a subtle adjustment to the disposition of the beads on the abacus. There, he said, we have travelled backwards in time 3 weeks. Richard opened the door again and hurried upstairs to phone L'Esprit d'Escalier. The maitre d' was charmed and delighted to take his reservation and looked forward to seeing him in 3 weeks' time. Richard went back downstairs, shaking his head in wonder. I need a weekend of solid reality, he said. Who is that just going out of the door? That, said Dirk, was your sofa being delivered. The man asked if we minded him opening the door so they could manoeuvre it round, and I said we would be delighted. It was only a few minutes later that Richard found himself hurrying up the stairs to Susan's flat. As he arrived at her front door, he was pleased, as he always was, to hear the deep tones of her cello coming faintly from within. He quietly let himself in, and then, as he walked to the door of her music room, he suddenly froze in astonishment. The tune she was playing was one he had heard before, a little tripping tune that slowed, then danced again, but with more difficulty. His face was so amazed that she stopped playing the instant she saw him. What's wrong? She said, alarmed. Where did you get that music? Said Richard in a whisper. She shrugged. Well, from the music shop, she said, puzzled. She wasn't being facetious. She simply didn't understand the question. What is it? It's from a cantata I'm playing in a couple of weeks, she said. Bach, number 6. Who wrote it? Well, Bach, I expect, if you think about it. Who? Watch my lips. Bach. B-A-C-H. Johann Sebastian, remember? No, never heard of him. Who is he? Did he write anything else? Susan put down her bow, propped up her cello, stood up and came over to him. Are you all right? She said. It's rather hard to tell. What's... He caught sight of a pile of music books sitting in a corner of the room with the same name on the top one, Bach. He threw himself at the pile and started to scrabble through it, book after book. J.S. Bach, cello sonatas, Brandenburg concertos, a mass in B minor. He looked up at her in blank incomprehension. I've never seen any of this before, he said. Richard, my darling, she said, putting her hand to his cheek, what on earth's the matter? It's just Bach sheet music. But don't you understand, he said, shaking a handful of the stuff, I've never, ever seen any of this before. Well, she said with mock gravity, perhaps if you didn't spend all your time playing with computer music. He looked at her with wild surprise. Then slowly he sat back against the wall and began to laugh hysterically.